11.
I mean 11, yeah. Hey, I lost another year.
What?
Yeah, 2010. I don't want to go back to 2010 either. Pastor Gary wanted me to talk to you tonight a little bit about this Sunday. We're going to be doing Sunday night service, which is usually our praise night is Sunday night service at 6 o'clock. And one of the things we're going to do is the same thing we did last year. We will write down our prayers and put them in an envelope and give them back to Pastor Gary. And then on Resurrection Day, Easter time, we'll open them up and we'll see how the Lord has blessed us through this time and how he's answered prayers that we've brought before him. So that he wanted me to talk to you a little bit about that and give you some time to be thinking about things. I know that probably all of us have some things on our heart even right now. Some of us probably wouldn't say, well, I don't really want to bring it before people to pray for me. And others feel very heavy on their heart that they would like for some of us to pray for them. And we're gonna do some of that tonight, too. But if you would turn with me in Matthew chapter 7, we're going to talk a little bit about what Scripture says about prayer. Brother Dave said something about our Father who can fix things. Mm-hmm. And he wants us to bring things before him. He wants to bring our concerns. Matthew will also say in another verse that we shouldn't be anxious about things because the Lord knows what we need even before we ask it. But he does tell us to ask. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, he says, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you." Ask, seek, and knock. When we ask, we're asking for the favor of God, and we're asking for his wisdom to be upon us. And when we ask according to the name of Christ, because there is no other name by which we have audience before God, the name of Christ. And we should also ask with the direction of the Spirit, that we're not just asking things that we want because we simply want them, but that we would have our focus in the will of God and in the name of Christ and with the Spirit. And when we seek, it says ask, seek. So what are we seeking? Well, we're certainly seeking the favor of God. We're asking him for something. And we should ask wholeheartedly and diligently, and we should trust that it's going to be through Christ that whatever our request is, that it's made known to the Father. And to knock, and the door will be open. First thing that comes to my mind was how Paul would pray that there would be an open door of opportunity to present the gospel. And that was when he was, with the Praetorian Guard in prison. And even though the gospel was being preached by others for spite, even to cause him more difficulty, he was rejoicing. But he was praying that a door of opportunity would be open for them to preach forth the word. But knock at the door of God's mercy. We certainly don't have or deserve anything that the Lord would give us. Everything that he gives us is through his grace and by his mercy. There's a verse in James that I particularly like. It says that justice is overcome by mercy. Judgment is overcome by mercy. As in, mercy is something greater to be achieved or to receive than judgment. We certainly don't want to receive judgment. We want the mercy. And that when we pray for this and knock at the door, that we will expect that the Lord hears our prayer and that we don't have doubt. James says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. And he gives to every man without reproach, and he's going to give it to you. And if you have any doubt, then you're like the surf of the sea, that you're tossed here and there, that you don't have any solid footing to stand on, that your focus is on, well, if he'll do this, but I don't know. You know, and I know that there's been times that I've brought prayers before the Lord, and I'm thinking, you know, this really seems pretty out there. I don't know that the Lord's going to do this. And I'm doubting that he's going to do this. And when I come to realize where I am in my heart with this prayer request, then I shouldn't expect that the Lord's going to answer the prayer. So then I get my heart right. Turn my heart, O Lord. Get my heart right. And I said earlier that it's not, the prayer is not, as in Matthew 6 says, Matthew 6 verses 5 through 8. It says, and when you pray, you're not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into the inner room, and when you have shut the door, pray your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard by their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask it. He knows what you need. He provides for all of your needs. Ask, seek, and knock. Matthew chapter 7, let's pick back up in verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, it shall be open. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will he give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, will he give him a snake? Will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask? So he's telling us to ask. We should ask, we should seek, and we should knock. He will give us good things. I think that's one of the things that I hear sometimes when people talk about their prayer life. It almost seems like they don't really think that God wants to give them good things. And he really does. He says he wants to give us good things. Why would we doubt? We can sometimes see someone else and say, well, I can see how the Lord's blessed them. I can see how the Lord would want to give them good things. But sometimes we doubt that the Lord wants to be gracious and do good things for us. But he does. It specifically says that right there in that verse. In verse 12, therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them. For this is the law and the prophets. It seems a little unconnected. To be fair, you'd really have to have the previous two chapters here to have the whole thing. But what it's saying is, everybody knows this verse. They've heard it before. It's called the Golden Rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And it is the law. This is the law and the prophets. Because it's about communicating, but it's about loving your brother and prayerfully considering your brother. Because you know, if you look, listen to the Ten Commandments, one of them says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, you're loving your neighbor and you're considering your neighbor. You shall not steal or lie. These things are things that you would do against your neighbor. Therefore, if you're doing them, then you're not obeying the golden rule. If you are obeying the golden rule, then you are living in the law. Ask, seek, and knock. It seems so easy to say, just ask of the Lord. Well, if we consider where the Lord is and where we are, it reminds me of that song. It says, He's in heaven, you are not. And, yes, Tom?
You know what's interesting in all those verses that are all together there, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, there's no time given. There's no timetables. There's no lapse in time. There's nothing about time given. It just seems that you know, time is only measurable to humans. Mm-hmm. God gives that to us because we need it. In other words, He's going to deliver it when He knows it's right, and He's going to deliver it when He sees the perfect time, the perfect opportunity. And yeah. In our minds, we just think, when we read that passage or these passages, we see, all right, ask and it's given. That's the way we see things immediately.
Yeah.
But that's not, there's nothing about that in the verse.
Right. Well, we know it is all in his time, and that when we ask, we should ask according to His will, and that His will would be done in what we're asking, and under the direction of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Wholeheartedly, diligently, I think of the verse in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, be diligent, study to show thyself approved as a good workman unto God, who need not be ashamed, but accurately handling the word of truth. John also gives us some insight into prayer. If you turn with me to John 14, the Gospel according to John 14. My favorite Gospel is the Gospel of John. John is the one who has probably the closest relationship personally with Jesus. And I think... Well, all the Gospels were written differently for different groups, but John 14 starts out so personally when he says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. That he's trying to give some reassurance. And in chapter 14, verse 13, it says, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So he says, if we ask anything in his name, his name would be in his character, in his way of doing things, through even the Holy Spirit, which he talks about sending us the Helper. In verse 25, it says, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. That's a pretty amazing thing. The Helper's going to come. The Helper's going to actually point to Christ. Everything that the Spirit does points to Christ. And he specifically says what the Helper is. The Helper is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in His name to teach you all things and to bring you into remembrance. There's so many things in the Christian walk. You know, say you walk by the Spirit. Okay, what does it look like to walk by the Spirit? Well, if you walk in love, if you walk according to the Holy Spirit, then you're not gonna see things that are evil. You're going to be walking not according to the flesh, but you're going to be walking with a mind set on things above. We don't always walk that way. It's not in us to walk that way. But the one thing about the Lord that he does is he's the one that pulls us back. You know? Andrew, isn't he the one that pulled you back? He's the one that does the work. Christ is like no one else, no other God, or I should say, as Paul says, no other so-called God. There's no other God like him. So we should ask, we should seek, we should knock, we should ask in his name, and that we know that the Holy Spirit is going to direct us in the right direction when we pray according to the Spirit. I could say, Lord, I really want a new car. That's looking at things on the land. I may really need a new car. And then I could be saying, Lord, you know my car's in really bad shape, and it's getting me here and there. I don't know how much longer it's going to make. Lord, you know all things. If you want me to have a new car, I'll have a new car. I mean, there are material things that God does, that he provides for people. But that's not everything that it's about. It's not about material things. And yet, at the same time, he wants us to ask for things that we need. Yeah.
Kind of snake and stone provisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To be able to carry on this thing.
Yeah.
As far as providing for our family, as far as getting to church, and wanting to minister those things that he's given us. So that ties into the loaf of bread and stone.
Yeah, that's probably very apt, because the bread is the same thing that they use every day that sustains life. And a stone will not. And if you ask for a fish, you know, a serpent would be. There's one verse that I looked up. It actually used scorpion instead of snake. Mm-hmm. Yes, Dave.
It's often I think we come to the Lord, we ask him for things that we think we need or that we think we gotta have, and he says no, and we're like, why did he say no? Or we think he didn't hear us, or we get upset with God because certain things didn't happen a certain way. When in truth, I think the Lord often has to say no because we ask for stuff that we don't realize would destroy us.
Right.
You know, I remember early in my 20s, we were in a financial pinch, and I said, Lord, you know, you could just have someone give me a lottery ticket. I don't have to buy it. Just have somebody give me a ticket, and you know, you could help us that way, you know.
Or find it on the road.
Yeah. There you go.
Explain that one, yeah.
But, you know, in reality, it's so sad but true that many people who come into wealth, okay, we'll put it in those terms, it destroys their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have this own proclivity. I've noticed this about myself. When things are not, when everything's just hunky-dory, smack dab out of sight and nothing's, there are no issues. It's amazing how much I forget where all the blessings came from.
Mm-hmm.
I began thinking that I had something to do with that. That's right. It's all about me. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And
yeah.
God knows this. And it's, so when we, you know, it's just like our kids when they're really small, they, Dad, I gotta have some M&Ms, man. I gotta have them. And they're screaming and crying and upset and getting out of shape because you won't let them have M&Ms. You know that they don't need them, and that if you let them have the bag, that they will eat themselves till they're sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't know it, but you do. And yeah. And I think that's the way the Lord deals with us a lot of times.
Yeah. You know, there's different times in my life where I'll read certain verses, and I'll think, well, I understand that verse. And several of these have actually been in Crown Ministry verses, because, you know, it's memory verse, and they always come back to your head. Sometimes I tell them to my kids, and sometimes they get sick of hearing them. But, you know, there's this one this past year kind of, anybody know we're going through a recession? Well, they're calling it the Great Recession.
No, come on.
They are. They're calling it the Great Recession. And this verse says, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. And it's been a difficult year for a lot of people. And it's been difficult for me to see some of the people that I've known, worked with, that they've lost everything. And I had a guy that worked for me. He left for me because he saw things were getting slow. So he went to work for another company, and he was doing pretty well there, and then they let him go. And I guess he's fortunate in a way. He had two rental properties, and he was living on another house. And so he's decided to move out of that house, rent it, so he'll have three rental properties, and he'll move into an apartment so that the three rental properties will pay for his apartment rent. And it will, as long as he keeps them rented. But, you know, that's the kind of situation that's happened everywhere. I was talking to one of my neighbors yesterday, and he was telling me about another neighbor that, I won't mention any names, said he hadn't made a mortgage payment in 6 months. So, you know where that's headed. And not to confuse what we're talking about, we're talking about prayer, and that's a serious issue with a lot of people is, you know, where they are in their work situation. Some people are trying to go to school. I know Jason's planning to go off to college in the fall. People have things in their lives that they want to do, and the Lord wants you to have good things. He wants you to have everything good. And Pastor Gary wanted me to talk to you tonight so you could be thinking about and preparing about when we get together. We're going to have communion on Saturday night, I mean Sunday night. Again, it's 6 o'clock Sunday night so that we can, Andrew, yeah?
You still have regular service.
Yeah, we have a regular service, yeah. It'll be like a praise night, but it's, you know, we do that. Yeah. We did it last year. Yeah, so we can think about the things that we'd like to write down as prayer requests and bring before the Lord, and see how the Lord answers prayer. Yes.
I was thinking about what Tom was talking about with the time thing. You know, it says to ask, and really, I think that means keep on asking. It's not just Don't just pray at one time and then say, okay, well, the Lord knows I ask him and he's not going to answer it or whatever. But he wants you to be persistent in asking. Mm-hmm. And it's like it reminds me of the story that, you know, where the lady was kept bugging the king. And
He finally gave in.
Yeah, even even the dogs get the crumbs. That's what Jesus said. Or the lady that... The Gentile woman. Mm-hmm. And I think of it that way, you know, it's like if your prayers are not answered right away, that doesn't mean you stop praying. You just keep on praying.
Mm-hmm.
Keep on knocking at that door. Keep on asking.
Yeah, one of the greatest verses that I think of in the book of James is the fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. And Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Elijah. I still can't comprehend that, but I guess what it's saying is that he was a man. He had the same feelings and the same things that happened to him in his life. And in one particular case, his boldness went before him, and it caused him some problems. And you know, he was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed that it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain in 6 months. He prayed again.
And it rained.
Right.
And there's a thing about, we're talking about prayer. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, well, 7:14, and just look at it, 7:14 and 7:15.
Yeah. If my people, humble themselves.
Who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their evil wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I like the 15. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place.
Uh-huh.
And as it's, you know, how many times we pray, right, too, you're talking about prayer and all. So somebody says, well, I've been praying for this and nothing's happening. What's the attitude?
Yeah.
What's the attitude? You know, the attitude is, some people think just because I'm praying, it's, you know, okay, right, he's going to hear an answer. And I've been reading through, you know, how I'm finishing up the Daily Breads, read the Bible through a year. And I'm in Zechariah right now, but there's a lot of the minor prophets. He keeps saying, you've turned from me. You keep coming to me, right? And I'm not listening.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not, your heart's not right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is sad. You know, your heart's not right. You know, you can shout from the highest building in the world, and he's not going to hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you are right. You know, and you can get down to the lowest steps, and he'll hear everything you say.
Yeah. So what I want to do tonight also is, if there are any particular people that have issues that they'd like us to pray with them tonight, there are some things that have gone on today that you probably got some emails. Josh?
I'll wait on you.
Okay, that Kim Fair's mother is in the hospital, and she has cellulitis. And her sister, Kim's sister, is still here, so that's a good thing that they're together. But, you know, we could pray that this would be an opportunity and to see how the Lord works. And, you know, I've known Kim and her mom and her sisters for a long time. And Kim has endured a lot of difficult things from her sisters. And she has remained faithful. And I got to believe that the Lord's going to do good. I want to see that. And then Kim Williams, you have a friend?
My coworker Mary is actually a patient at one of our offices. His first name is Jeff, but I'm not sure what his last name is. He's 70 years old, and his hemoglobin looks 5.2, and that it only went up a little bit after they gave him
a transfusion.
Units of blood.
Yeah, 2 units of blood. Does he have any family members that visit him or anything?
I don't know if he has any family here. He has a wife here, but I don't know if he has any family members mm-hmm. here. And he's at Baptist South, but like I said, I'm not sure of his last name, but I can get it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jordan.
Keep in mind the brother of the body, Edward Marshall, and he, you know, it can't be easy where he is, and as the holidays are here, I think about him, and I constantly pray for him that, you know, he's found encouragement where he is.
Eddie.
I know I miss him dearly, and I know there's probably a lot of you that miss him. And I covet your prayers for him, and I know that he covets your prayers as well, to just continually pray for him that, you know, he would stay strong and he would find encouragement where he is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
John, I think we need to keep Craig in our prayers too. His healing is coming along nicely.
Yeah.
But I think we need to pray that Craig doesn't, you know, try to do things too quickly.
Craig doesn't pull a Craig.
He called this afternoon. I saw him Monday, and he said, "I'll see you Wednesday night." And I walked out of there thinking, "No, you won't." Called today and said, "I think I better stay home."
Yeah, he really wants to be here. Mm-hmm. Yes, Barb.
Terry, and the ones of you who don't, he used to come here, but he shared with me that he's been in the hospital 3 times in the last 2 months or 3 months with cellulitis.
Really?
So he struggled to get here someday. It just touched my heart because he struggles mightily.
Yeah. Perry's, he's had become a pretty faithful guy. Pastor Gary and I met him in a McDonald's years ago. We used to be at McDonald's every Tuesday, and Perry was sitting a couple tables over from us, and he would look over at us sometimes. Every now and then he'd kind of shout something across the table and ask us something, and he got a little closer to us, and then next thing you know, he's sitting at the table right next to us, and then Pastor Gary invited him to come sit with us, and so the conversations always kind of were leading to give opportunity for Perry to receive the Lord as his Savior. And I remember this one particular day, I was getting ready to leave, and I said bye to both of those guys, and I was walking out the door, and Perry had asked Pastor Gary if he would stay with him, talk to him about something. And I was thinking, Perry's there. And I was pulling in my driveway. Pastor Gary calls me up. He says, he prayed the prayer. And so we were.
Then he was baptized in Claire's pool.
Is that right? Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And he became a very faithful guy at that point. Anybody else have any prayer requests? Yes.
Just my sister's salvation and my brother's.
Sister and brother. Now, we've seen your sister in here a few times. We've seen your brother? A
couple times, once or twice, probably.
Yeah.
Over the years.
Yeah. Justin.
I keep remembering my dad.
Your dad. How is he doing?
He's doing good. He's taking it very well. He has his up and downs. You know, certain days he doesn't feel too well, and most days he does feel pretty well. But overall, he's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Taking it very well.
Good. How much longer does he have to deal with the chemotherapy?
I think he's got one more session of 3 weeks.
One more session.
And then after that, they're going to do another CAT scan, is what it's called, to see how much it's shrunk down.
Well, we'll be praying for that, praying for his healing.
Whoops, got our hands up. My friend Allison, she's come here a couple times, and I met her before.
Mm-hmm.
She just texted me before church started, and she told me her grandpa's dying. He was admitted into the hospital a couple weeks ago, maybe a month or two, and her mom was up there, and they said that they have to, like, restrain him because he will physically get up and leave because he doesn't want to be there.
Mm.
Lord's hands in that, but their relationship with the Lord isn't what it should be. And so, you know, just pray that this would be an opportunity for the Lord to, you know, bring them back, and for the family to become a unit again.
Yeah. Jordan and then Andrew.
I don't mean to be bothered, but there's Eddie, but there's also one of my friends that I go to high school with. Her name is Jamie. She has, unbelievably, at our young age, she has 2 ulcers, and she also is having a kidney infection at the moment. She's been in and out of the hospital for the past couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And my heart really goes out to this young lady because of how sick she is. She is a believer in Christ,
mm-hmm.
which I'm very thankful about, but she is very sick, and it doesn't seem to ever get better. So if you could keep her, Craig, anybody else that's been said tonight, and your prayers for their health.
Mm-hmm. Well, my wife's been writing all these names down, so we're going to email them over to Mr. Steve tomorrow, so everybody on the email list will see these names and can remember these, and just continue to bring them before the Lord. Does anybody else? Oh, Andrew, you had your hand up?
The Lord has just opened up a lot of doors at work for ministry, where a new assistant general manager has come in there. He's Jewish. And he found out I was a Christian, and a couple of weeks ago, he made the comment, "Well, you think I'm the heathen?" And, you know, just kind of playing around with different things. And, I went up to him about a week ago, and I talked to Josh about it. And I said, "You know, man, I really don't think you're a heathen. I love you, man. And, you know, I know you don't agree with me, but Jesus loves you too. And, you know, I love you. I don't dislike you or anything. You know, you're the chosen part. You're the chosen people, not me." Mm-hmm. You know, if anything,
we're grafted in.
Yeah, if anything, I'm the heathen. And so today, our breaks just aligned up, and both of us were sitting in the break room, and he goes, "So how's everything going, Andrew?" I said, "Oh, it's going pretty good, you know." He goes, "You got any plans for New Year's?" I said, "Yeah, I'm just going to hang out at my church." You know, that's usually what we do. We just go hang out. Either somebody's having a bonfire or something.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Yeah, okay." He kind of dropped that. I said, "You know, man, would you mind just explaining to me your belief?" And we talked about it. We got done, and he got up and he goes, "You know, you're an odd one, Andrew."
We need
spotted that. I'm sitting there thinking, tell me something. Like, I don't know. But he goes, he said, "You know, most Christians I meet are very dogmatic to me." And he said, "You know, I grew up, my father was Jewish. I grew up in that faith, and so therefore I took it as my own."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Most Christians I meet are very dogmatic to me."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I truly do respect the fact that you've been kind and you haven't been dogmatic."
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like I feel like he knows what he's talking about, to the degree that, I mean, obviously he's grown up in it, and his father's actually from Israel, and he goes there all the time, and so I feel like I know he's not just talking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But I also do feel like there's a tender heart there. I feel like as if the Lord possibly opened up the door there, and just as the Spirit would let my actions, not my words, but my actions, speak volumes.
Yeah.
And that, you know, maybe he'll keep coming and asking questions.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, praise the Lord.
What's his name?
Y'all would pronounce it Gabriel.
Gabriel. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking about when Paul came into that one city that had all these gods and statues around, and they had the one to the one unknown god in case they missed somebody. And Paul didn't go to him and beat him up and call him a bunch of idiots. He says, "Let me tell you about this one. That's what you got to do, is tell him about, you know, this one, that God loves you."
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody else? Yes.
Paraplegic, or they won't say that he can't recover.
Uh-huh.
After 2 years, Tracy said, they'll say that there's probably no chance that he can ever recover from it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been in a lot of pain from the infection, and his bones are fusing together and just different things. He can't sit in his wheelchair more than 2 hours at a time. Special bedding and a lot of care. So just be praying for Tracy, for strength for her, and then also Mark for recovery. We know that God is in the business of miracles.
Yeah, he can heal. Mm-hmm. That's what he does.
Three members of my mom's church is actually a deacon.
Yeah,
over there.
Yeah.
It happened like that.
You know, I gotta. Give the Lord praise for something. I don't know if I've told every one of you or not, but you know, I used to have a lot of trouble with my back. I had a back problem all the time. I've had back surgery. I was going to, had an MRI, I was going to, this probably been 3 years ago, going to had an MRI. They were looking at doing surgery again, and Pastor Gary was talking to me one day. He says, well, I guess we just need to pray for healing for you. And I was thinking, that's something I hadn't really thought of. You know, I thought, it's broke, it's got to be, you know, surgery, it's got to be fixed. And sure enough, I don't have any back problem at all. I have normal back pains, like normal people do when they do yard work or something. But, you know, I'm praising the Lord for that. Andrew.
I'm sorry, I have one more that somebody helped me remember. Melissa's parents. We had actually tried getting in contact with her father today to talk to them, and he didn't answer. And he's just doing some stuff that definitely hurting.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else?
James is going to be flying up Friday night.
Flying up here from Belize?
Mm-hmm.
Back to school?
Well, no, he'll be coming here for two. Yeah, well, Ben, he'll be back to school. We'll be taking him out on Monday.
Yeah.
But he'll be here on Sunday.
Cool. Good. Look forward to seeing the guy again. He's a good young man. Yes.
I have a younger brother. He's going to Japan.
Yeah, that's right. Be over there for a couple years. A couple years, right? Yeah. We're going to have a long list. Okay. Everybody look at your emails tomorrow. We'll get it to Mr. Steve and pass it around. But that's what we need to do. We need to pray for each other. We're part of a family. We all hurt together. We all love together. We all care for each other. We should pray for each other. And we should ask, because he wants us to ask. And we need to ask in Christ's name. And without any doubt, expecting that the Lord is going to do what he's going to do, because he's good. Is the Lord good?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. I'm going to close this in prayer. We're going to send this email out to you tomorrow. And if anybody has something they want to stay and pray with someone afterwards, be happy to do that. Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness, for your grace, your favor that you pour out on us every day, even that we don't see. Lord, you want good for us. Lord, we've heard of many here tonight that are sick or hurting or need you, need to receive you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, we just lift them all up to you tonight. And pray corporately and ask that you do as you do. You do good things. You do great work. You still do miracles. You roll the stone away. Lord, we just want to lift you up and give you all the praise and the glory. For it's all you. We want to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.